Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nedarim Daf Samach Zayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage, and then go to option 2. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin at the very bottom of Daf Samach Vov Omid Beis. We are, as you can see, beginning the 10th Perek of Nedarim, Perek Na'ar Hamurasa. Before we begin this Perek, we highly recommend going over the psukim in the Torah that are relevant for this Perek. The psukim you will find in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed. We're going to briefly, or superficially, go through the psukim found there in Perek Lamed in order to get a flavor of the issues dealt with in this Perek. There are numerous drushes that focus on the psukim, so having an overview beforehand is very worthwhile. So turn to Bamidbar, Perek Lamed, and we will start with Pasuk Dalid. The couple of sukkim before this deal with a man who vows, then the Torah exhorts him to keep his word. This parak deals with a girl, a woman who vows, who is 12 years of age, between 12 and 12 and a half, is called a Na'ara. Hence the name of this parak, Na'ara. Murasa means she is getting married to a man. But in order to appreciate the whole picture, we continue with the psukim in Bamidbar, Perek Lamed Pasuk Dalid, and we will continue reading with a very, very superficial translation in order to get a flavor of the things. V'isha ki sidor neder l'Hashem, a woman when she vows, v'osor isor b'veso via b'nureo, and she imposes a restriction while she's in her father's house. B'nureo means she is of age, she is between 12 and 12 and a half. A girl, a minor, whatever she says, her vows are not binding. There is a discussion concerning a woman, girl between age 11 and 12, which we'll leave aside for the time being. But when you want to speak about a certainty where a vow could be binding, that is when you're dealing with a girl age 12. V'shoma avia es nidra v'esara ashrosra nafsha, and the father hears of the vow, v'echrish lavia, and the father remains silent, v'komukol nidra v'chol isra ashrosra nafsha yakum, and with the father's silence, so the vow that the girl had taken, that the na'ara had taken, is binding. V'im heini avia oisa b'yom shamo, if the father heini means he disallows, he objects, he stops. When you look into the word heini further, you look in Rashi on the Chumash, you'll see that the word heini has to, he stops her with his annulment, with his hafora of the vow. But he has to do so b'yom shamo, on the day that he hears it. So kol nidorev v'sarash yosra nafsho lo yokum. So her vows and the restrictions that she imposed will not be binding. V'ashem yisachlo ki eni v'yoso, the Almighty should forgive her, for her father disallowed her. V'im hoyosia li'ish unidorev leo. And here is where our perek starts to deals primarily with this issue, with the Na'ara, then Hoyo Sieli Ish, she enters marriage, Unidore Aleo, she enters marriage and she has vows, Omivtos Vasel Shosra Nafsha, other kinds of vows, Vishoma Isha Biyom Shomo Vechrishla, and her husband hears of the vow and remains silent on the day that he hears of her vow, and her vows will be binding. If on the day that her husband hears of it, he is mefir, he disallows it, he annuls the vow, then Vashem Yislach Lo. Then the vow, of course, will not be binding, and Hashem should forgive her. The vows of a widow or of a divorcee, whatever she vows, will be binding. She's not under the control of her father. She's not married to a husband, so what she says goes. And if in her husband's house she vows, and the husband hears of the vow and he doesn't stop it, and all her vows will be binding. Now, you might get a sense of maybe repetition. We mentioned in Pasuk Zayin, if she enters marriage, and here we have a woman who is married. So that's something to bear in mind. One should be aware, and we've spoken about this extensively in the last couple of months of Shiurim. Let's just remind you that when you deal with marriage, according to traditional Torah law, marriage is achieved in two stages. There's Kiddushin, or we call Erusin, and then Nisuin. Erusin is the first stage where a man offers a woman something of value, we could say money, in exchange for her accepting or agreeing to marry him. At that point, she is considered a married woman. She's an arusa. And then in the time of the Gemara, there was a later stage where they would enter a marriage canopy. We call that chuppah, which results in the second stage we call nisuin, at which point the couple consummates their marriage with intimacy and they live together, husband and wife. So the double reference in the psukim to a woman who is married will, as you will see, refer to the erusin stage and the later nisuin stage. So both stages have to be dealt with, and they're referred to in these different psukim. We continue with the pasuk. We mentioned pasuk Yud Beis that if her husband hears of the vow and he doesn't stop her, so she will be bound to them. And pasuk Yud Gimel says, "Vim hofer yofer oisam yishaviyam shamoi." If the husband then objects and annuls the vow on the day that he hears of it, not a day later or 2 days later, but on the very day that he hears of it, then everything that she had vowed will not stand, is not binding. Her husband annulled it, and Hashem should forgive her. All vows and oaths that create self-infliction or self-deprivation, those kind of vows, her husband can establish them or substantiate them, or her husband can annul them. If the husband remains silent for 24 hours, or from day to day, more accurately, in other words, on the day that he hears it, he remains silent, then that will establish, that will substantiate her vows. Hekim oisom ki hechrish lo biyom shamo. His silence, in effect, is a substantiation of her vows, because he remained silent on the day that he heard it. If he annulled them after he hears it, hears the vow, venosa es avona. That is a phrase that needs further analysis, so we're not going to translate that. These are the rules that Hashem commanded Moshe that concern a man and his wife, a father and his daughter, as a nara, as a girl between 12 and 12 and a half, while she's in her father's house. we read the Pesukim very, very quickly. We didn't dwell on the precise meaning of words. We just tried to give each one a feeling, a flavor of what to expect. Now, we turn to the Mishnah, the beginning of the 10th Perek. Again, we draw your attention to the last line of Samach Vov Omid Beis. Naro Hamurosa. A Naro who entered the first stage of marriage, the Erusin stage. And again, she's between 12 and 12 and a half. Ovil Bailo Mefirin Nidoreha. The father and the husband annul her vows. We're trying to stick to more or less a literal translation. There is more to talk about, and the Gemara will certainly deal with it. The Ran adds some valuable information. Nam Rosa Novio Balon Fru Nadra Afilu Nidorum Shinodra Beloida Pinio. Here we're talking about vows that she may have made even while she was a single girl, before she entered Erusin. The Orus Mefer B'Kaidmin B'Shufasei Da'av, Kiddush B'Gemara. Here the Ran is revealing conclusions that the Gemara will eventually get to, but before we get to these conclusions in the Gemara, we're going to have to go through several stages of questioning. That having been said, the Mishnah reveals to us that the Orus, we'll call him the husband at first stage of marriage, working in conjunction with the father, can annul vows that she had taken before she entered this husband's domain, before he entered the picture. That's called a Mefer B'Kodmin. Kodmin for Kodem, the vows that were from before. This will stand in stark contrast to the range of the husband after the marriage is consummated. The Nara Denokat, the word Nara that opens this perek, Nafuke Bogeres, to the exclusion of a Bogeres, that's a girl above 12 and a half years of age. A girl at that age, Shein Lo Virushuspa, the father has no reign over, no control over her. The Eino Mefer Nidoreha. The father, if she's a single girl and living still in her father's home, he has no control over those vows. The Orus Nami, below Shusei Da'av, and Orus without the joint efforts of a father, of her father, Lomotzi Mefer, the Orus cannot annul her vows. Avol, who are the Nami, the Bas Yudal of Shonet, Shenedorel, Nivdokim, Da'av, Orus, Mefir, Nidorel. We alluded to this a little bit earlier. In passing, that there is seriousness to vows taken by a girl between age 11 and 12. We'll leave that aside. We don't have to focus on that right now. Rather, Nara, as we indicated, is a girl between 12 and 12 and a half. And as the Mishnah says, she is also Mureses. So, Ovil Vaila Mefirin Neda, her father and her husband annul her vows. We continue at the top of Samach Zayin Omen Aleph. At this point, the Mishnah says something that might seem obvious. The Gemara will deal with this, though. Hefer Av lo Hefer Abal, if the father annuls and the husband doesn't, rather he, as Rashi says, he remains silent for 24 hours. Hefer Abav lo Hefer Av, or the husband indicates his disapproval, his annulment, and not the father. Eino Mufer, the vow is not annulled. Because we need both the husband and the father to annul the Na'aro Hamurosa's vow. The Ein Tzorch Lomar Shikayim Echad Mehem, and it goes without saying that one of them, in a positive fashion, established, reinforced her vow. The Gemara asks, "Hainu Reisha Ovia Ubaila Mefirin Nidorea." Is it not so that the continuation of the Mishnah is in effect what the beginning of the Mishnah said? The Mishnah had said here, looking at the top line, It said here, Hefer ho'avlo, Hefer ho'bal, if the father annulled and the husband did not, so the vow is going to kick in. It will be effective. It'll be a standing vow. Well, isn't that what the Reisha said? The Reisha, the opening of the Mishnah, said that a namrasa, she needs to have the father and the husband annulling her vows. Obviously, if they don't both annul it, so the vow will stand. Why then is it important for the Mishnah to go on to say the obvious, that, well, if the father annuls without the husband, so the vow will stand? That was understood at the opening line of the Mishnah. The Gemara answers, Mao de Tema. I would have thought from the opening line alone that now, which said, Naro Hamurasa Ovia Ubaila. What does that mean, Ovia Ubaila? I might have thought it meant, Oy Ovia Oy Baila Katoni. It's either or. It would have been enough for either the father or the husband to annul. Oh, and that's not true. Komash Malon, that's why the Mishnah goes on to clarify that the opening expression of Ovia Ubaila meant her father and her husband. And therefore, if only one was mefer, if only one annulled and the other did not, the vow will stand. The Ein Tzorach Loimar Shikiyim Echad Mehem. The Mishnah went on to say, and it goes without saying, that the vow will stand if one of them substantiates. Mekayim is to second the motion, so to speak. He establishes, he concurs with the vow. Lama li lemisna. Why is that necessary to be taught? Hashto yesh loimar hefu zeh below zeh velo klum. Once you tell me that if only one of them, the father or the husband, only one of them was mefer without the cooperation, without the cooperation of the other, so the hafora is nothing, the annulment is nothing, is not effective. Kiyem echad mehem lomali. Why does the Mishnah have to tell us that if one of them substantiates the vow, that her vow will be standing? The idea of one of them substantiating the vow is certainly a case of one being mefer without the other one being mefer, and even more. So once you tell me that if one is mefer without the other, that the vow is standing, so this is obvious. Namely, it's obvious if one of them, father or husband, substantiates the vow, that the vow will be standing. The Gemara answers, Ki itzdrich lei kagon, the teaching of the Mishnah is necessary under the following circumstances. For example, the hefer echod mehem, the kiyem echod, where one father or a husband, one of them annulled, the other one substantiated the vow, the chozar hamekayim v'nishal ha'akamoso, and then that one who concurred with the vow reverses or rescinds his confirmation through a sheila, through approaching a Torah sage and expressing his regrets about his substantiating her vow. Mahu detema, without the Mishnah, I might have thought, my deuki ho'akre, that which he originally had substantiated, he has now reversed. And with that, all that would be necessary would be his annulling. And the original party that annulled doesn't have to do anything, because the original annulment is there. It remains. In the interim, the other one had ben Mikayim had concurred with the vow, but then he went and rescinded his concurrence. Komash Malon, what the Mishnah reveals to us is, with its, we'll say, with the extra expression in the Mishnah, the Mefirin Shnehem Bebas Achas, that what's necessary now at this point in such a case is for the one who originally annulled must annul again together with this one, the one who originally had been Mekayim the vow. Of course, the one who had been Mekayim the vow, when he rescinds his Kiyum, he will be Mefer, but it's important for the original party who was Mefer to be Mefer again. We look together at the Ran commentary. V'chozer mekai v'nishal al hakamosoi kinamrinu l'kamon d'nishol l'hakem. The Gemara says later on that if within the same day that the father or the husband had concurred with her vow, he reverses his thinking and wants to rescind his confirmation, he can do so. That's pointed out in the Gemara by approaching a Torah sage, as is the procedure with the absolution of vows in general. Mahu detema, one might have thought without our Mishnah. Mai de'uki ho akre, that which he had originally concurred with the vow, he now uprooted it. Ubahafora de mekayim lechudei sagi v'idach kvar hefer. And with the formal annulment of the one who was Mekayim, that's enough. As far as the hafora of the original one, that remains in its place. Komash Malon, what the Mishnah is telling us, is the ad de mefirin shnei b'vasachas, that the hafora will not be an effective hafora unless both husband and father jointly are mefer. Klomar shelo yafsik bein echod l'chavero, there shall be no block between the hafora of one and the hafora of the other. What do we mean by that? There should be no block between them. Dover shuma akiv hafora, something that would prevent the effectiveness of annulment. Kegoin hakoma dahai, the example obviously is the concurrence of one of them following the hafora of the first party. The kevon dahi shaita, since at that moment, at that time that the one that concurred, that substantiated the vow, lav bar haforahu, once you establish at that point, you can no longer, at that moment that you're mekayim, so you can't be mefer. Afilu ha hafora kamaisa deidach botlala, since the mekayim's hafora is non-existent by virtue of the fact that he was mekayim, so the original hafora is also annulled. V'tzorach shi mefirim achshav shnei b'vas achas, and therefore both father and husband have to be mefer. Umiu b'chai sagi shelo tomar ein hafora achar hafora, v'kevon d'hafora kamo iftila, su lo motzi mefer d'lesa. And with everything we've said, then, is you should realize, do not think that a hafora, after a hafora, cannot be done since the original hafora was botel. Don't think that. We have, in fact, a situation where the original hafora was botel, but that doesn't mean the end of hafora as a possibility, as we just described. So, all of that, it sounds like maybe a lengthy explanation, but that is what the Mishnah was conveying to us when we were told, V'ein tzorach lomar shikim echod mehem. We come back to the Gemara. Venaro hamrosa, Avihu Bailo Mefirin Nidorel. Minolon. From where do we know this? That a Naam Rasa, the father and the husband working together, are Mefir her vows. Omar Rabba, well, we have a new marking, so we glance at the side where we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. We emphasize that this marking scheme lasts till Daf Samaches Omed Aleph, which means that if you have Samaches Omed Aleph readily available, you'll notice a second bow tie on the top of Samaches. What are they? The explanation on the side reads, Mahu Hamoker Loimar. What's the source for this point that a Naam Rasa, her father and husband, annul her vows? The Gemara. So Omar Rabo, Omar Kro, the Posuk says, and here we're looking at Bamidbar Paraklamet Posuk Zayin, Vim Hayoi Tiye Leish Unidorel Oleho. And if she enters marriage, and she has vows. Mikan, from here we see Lenam Rosso, Shavio Bailo Mefirim Nindorel, that her father and husband annul her vows. Now, there are obvious questions. How exactly do you see that? So, what we do at this point is we glance at Rashi. What Rashi that we're looking at is in the middle of the wide lines under the Gemara text. Omar Kro Ve'im Hoyo Sielish Le'el Mehai Kro Ksiv. Right before this pasuk, it said, Ki Heini Ovia Oisa. So if you have the psukim in front of you, you can see that it described her father having stopped her vow. Uksiv, and then it says with a vav, ve'im hayot yaleish. Vav moisif al inyan rishon. The vav is a connecting letter. It's a continuation. In other words, it connects the two phrases. So that while we had read it at the end of Pasuk Vav, her father had stopped her vow, and she is married, so that vav says the chihechi da'av mevatel nivrei bita b'zman shibush. So, just like a father annuls the vows of his daughter when she is in his domain, hachinami mevatel im habal kol zman shiarusa. So, to the father annuls together with the husband as long as she is in the erusin state, that first stage of marriage, da'dayin hibush. So, she's still considered in the father's domain. So it's all in a letter, the Vav. We continue in the Gemara. You notice a new marking, a triangle appears. On the side, we have V'Emo, that's the word that we've highlighted. Kushos al Rabba, these represent questions or challenges to what Rabba said. We continue. V'Emo haikro b'nisu uksiv. Could it not be said that this pasuk is talking about a nesua, a girl who consummated her marriage? Namely, the pasuk says v'im hoyo tiel ish, and if she is married, so the husband annuls her vows. Nothing to do with the involvement of a father. So the Gemara answers. If you are to think that that the pasuk is speaking about a nesua, well, kro achrinuksi, there's another pasuk. Pasuk yud aleph, im beis isha nadara, if in the house of her husband she vowed. The Gemara asks, v'ema travaya b'nesua. Let us suggest that actually both psukim are talking about a nesua, pasuk zayin and pasuk yud aleph. You might ask, why do I need to have two psukim referring to the same thing, referring to a woman who consummated her marriage to tell me that her husband can annul her vows? Well, Lemaymar She'ein Habal Mefer Bekodmin. I need the extra pasuk to tell me that a husband cannot annul the vows of his wife before she entered his domain. In other words, previous vows are not something that the husband can annul. And we take a look at Rashi, the Emo Travayu, Hani Krug. We're looking at Rashi that you could see around six lines from the bottom. Both put, let us suggest that both psukim are talking about the nesua, the baal mefer, that the husband annuls. You might ask, what do I need two psukim regarding the woman who consummated her marriage? Well, I'll answer that. Chad lomar loch, one is necessary to tell me she'ein baal mefer bekoidmin, that a husband cannot annul vows that were prior to her becoming married to him. That pasuk, which pasuk Zion tells me that a husband is granted the power to annul the vows of his nesua wife. The im beis isha nadara, which was pasuk Yud Aleph, mashma the ois nadaram shenotu beis isha mefer baila. Only those vows that she vowed while in his domain, he can annul. But if she had vows that she had taken before Nisuin, that she had taken while she was an Arusa, and he then subsequently consummated the marriage, those he cannot undo. So it could very well be then at this point both psukim are talking about a nesua. I don't learn anything about a nara ha'amurasa, that the husband works in conjunction and partnership with the father. So we're still left with seeking a source for the Mishnah, that husband and orus jointly annul her vows. The Gemara answers, v'lav memela shamis mina. This is a phrase that's very terse, but if we look in Rashi at the top, we'll hopefully gain an understanding. Rashi at the top, we have turned, of course, to Amud Beis. Rashi says, "V'lav memelo d'li'olam im hoyo si'eh osi l'nar murasa." We have to conclude that the im hoyo si'eh posuk is referring to the nar murasa, the ikide ko amris tribe nesua. If you're going to try to press your point that both are talking about a nisua, lomali, what do I need two psukim for that purpose? Lo lichtov ela v'im beis isha nadara lichudei. Let the Torah have written just pasuk yud aleph umemelo shamas mina di'enu mefer b'koidmin. And from that, I would learn that a consummated marriage husband does not undo previous vows. The mashma, from this we could easily infer, im beis isha nadara velo ma shenadra kodem lachem, that which she vowed in her husband's house, he's mefer, not that which she vowed beforehand. Vim hoyo siya lomali, what do I need to tell us again that a husband can annul vows by saying that Pasuk Zion deals with a husband in a Nisuin situation? I don't need that. Once I tell you that the husband cannot mefer previous vows, but he is able to mefer the vows taken in his domain, so I know that a husband that had reached Nisuin is capable of annulling vows. What is going to be revealed by Vim Hoyo Si'e Li'ish in that regard? Therefore, Shagya L'Arusa, send it to refer to the Arusa, the early stage of marriage. Shabal Vav Mefir Nidorel. So that's answer number one. Once again, just to repeat, there's no need to have Tupsukim to tell me about a Nisua, because I could have figured out all the information necessary by stating just Pasuk Yud Aleph, wherein in that pasuk I learned the concept of Ein Abal Mefer Bekodmin. At the same time, I see that Abal is Mefer the Nedarim. So what is the role of having pasuk Zion of Vim Hoyo Tieh? So we say it refers to the case of the Orus. The Gemara goes on, Havaya Kiddushin Mashma. Havaya is a reference to the expression that you see in the beginning of Pasuk Zayin, Vim Hoyo Tiyeh. That is what the Gemara means when it says Havaya. Vim Hoyo Tiyeh of Pasuk Zayin. So being that Havaya Vim Hoyo Tiyeh implies Kiddushin. Kiddushin is Erusin. It's Erusin and not Nisuin. So the suggestion that both Psukim, including Pasuk Zayin, is a reference to Nisuin is rejected. There is a new marking, a diamond with a double underline. On the side you can see the Mivneh. Hatzos Chilufios. We have now, we'll say, alternative suggestions to the halacha. What, so the halacha is that a father works in conjunction with the orus to annul her vows. The Gemara asks, and bear in mind that these questions are questions that will necessitate a scriptural response, because we know, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, that the Mishnah rejects these suggestions. Like if you scan ahead, the first suggestion is maybe a father is mefer alone. We already saw that is not the case from the Mishnah. So what's the point of the Gemara in asking this question? The point of the Gemara is that we need a scriptural source to explain the rules of the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, V'emo av l'chudei mefer, maybe a father on his own can annul the vows of his daughter who is an arusa. The Gemara responds, Im kain v'asra isar base aviha. What we're doing here is it's an abbreviated quote, a psukim dalid through vav. Those psukim describe, we'll read again, v'asra isar base aviha. Yoni Osa, that's the conclusion of that set of psukim, which describes a girl who is completely in her father's domain, that the father has the ability to annul his daughter's vows. What do we have to describe that for if the suggestion in the diamond that a father alone can mefer the vows of his daughter and arusa, where there's already a husband on the scene, the father still works on his own? So what do I have to tell you about a girl who's completely in her father's domain without an orus on the scene? What would I, lomali, what would I need psukim dalet through vav? If the suggestion of Av L'chudei is true, Hashto Yesh Lomar B'mokom Orus, according to the suggestion, a father works on his own even when an Orus is present, when he's in the picture. Mefer Av L'chudei. Let's read that line again. Hashto Yesh Lomar B'mokom Orus. Mefer Av L'chudei. Shelo B'mokom Orus Mibaya. When there's no Orus in the picture, as was described in the Psukim Dalid through Vav, do I need to be told that? So, what are we therefore going to conclude? That Psukim Dalid through Vav tell us the circumstances of when a father works on his own, namely where there is no Orus in the picture. But when there is an Orus in the picture, then the father does not operate on his own, but only in conjunction, in partnership with the Orus, in order to annul her vows. Amo, new suggestion. Av the boyos, granted, a father needs an Orus. The Orus, l'chudei mefer. Let us, this is our suggestion. That's why you see a double underline. Let us suggest that the Orus, though, can annul on his own. And when we say that, that means if the Orus annuls, that would be sufficient without partnering with the father. We have a bracketed section, just two lines, following which we have the answer. So the purpose of the brackets is simply to get immediately to the answer. So let's do that initially. In Cain, if it were so that the Orus can annul on his own, V'im beis isha nadara l'may kosav. This pasuk, V'im beis isha nadara, which we referred to earlier, this you can see in pasuk Yud Aleph. What do I need that pasuk for? That pasuk described a husband annulling the vows of his wife, the Nisuah, where she's completely outside her father's domain. If the last suggestion is true, that an Orus can mefer on his own, I don't need to tell you about the husband of a Nisuah, as the Gemara explains. Let's read the answer again. Im Cain, v'im beis isha nadara l'may kosav, kal v'chomer. I could figure that out, that a husband can mefer his wife who is a Nisuah on his own through kal v'chomer logic. Uma b'mokim av, orus mefer l'chudei, mind you, when a father is still in the picture. We haven't explained in detail with regard to what, but suffice it to say that when the girl is has entered only the first stage of marriage, the Erusin stage, she hasn't completely left her father's domain. So that, according to the most recent suggestion that an Orus could mefer on his own, mind you, the Orus, where a father is still in the picture, the Orus can mefer on his own. Shelo b'mokom av mibaya. That which is described in Pasuk Yud Aleph, namely the Nesua, that a husband can mefer on his own, that's obvious. Just to repeat, if the husband, when a father is in the picture, nevertheless husband can mefer on his own, when the father is not in the picture, certainly can mefer on his own. So what would I need Pasuk Yud Aleph for? So the fact that we do have a pasuk Yud Aleph and that which it says, I understand that the suggestion of Orus L'chudei Mefer is out of the picture. Now we have a bracketed section that we skipped. Let's go back to the diamond, reading the Gemara again with the bracketed section. Emo av l'boy Orus. Let us suggest that a father needs the Orus. The Orus L'chudei Mefer, but the Orus on his own could be Mefer. V'chiteimo av dekosav rachmono lomali. In order to appreciate this, we look at the Rosh commentary. The Rosh commentary that we're looking at is the fifth of the wide lines of the Rosh. V'chiteimo av dekosav rachmono lomali. Tzorech l'arev haforas av. Bahadi Orus, Kimato Elis Yesh Baforoso. Why does the Torah have to mix in the annulling of a father together with an Orus? What value is there in the father's annulment? This is what you might ask. He on his own, Hulavado Eno Yochul Hafer, Baforos Orus, Moil Beloa Foros Ahav. And according to our suggestion, the hafora, the annulment of the Orus, works without the hafora of the Av. So that at as we said before, when you read Pasuk Zion, which had said V'im Hoyo Sielish, that had connected the Orus together with the father. What do you need to mix the father in if this suggestion is to be taken seriously? So, as far as that question is concerned, we answer, Miboyale, di hokim hokim. What is necessary about mentioning the father in this context is that if the father substantiates her vow, then it will remain as a vow. The Rashi, you can see the Rashi will read together five lines under the Gemara text. Miboyale dim hokim hakim. Dim Hekim Hakim, Sheyesh Lo Lav Bekach Rishus Ba, that the father, according, all of this is of course according to the Havamin, according to the suggestion, and that is that granted the father cannot be Mefer on his own, and only the Orus is Mefer on his own, the role of the father, though, under these circumstances, is if Deim Hekim the Derel, if the father will concur with her vows, Ein Horus Yochel Shuv Lahofer, then the Oros cannot annul. Avo Beloha Komasav, in the absence of the father seconding her motion, her vow, Mefer Baal Lechudei. Yes, the husband could Mefer on his own, according to the suggestion. However, as the Gemara went on to say, we'll read the words again, Im Kain, if it were so, like the suggestion was that the Oros could be Mefer on his own, what do I need that pasuk Yud Aleph for? Kal v'chomer, I could have figured what is described in pasuk Yud Aleph, namely the case of the nesua that the husband is mefer, from kal v'chomer logic. Umav b'mokimav oros mefer l'chudei. Mind you, where a father is in the picture, and yet the oros could mefer on his own, according to the suggestion. Shelo b'mokimav mibaya. If you're dealing with a nesua, is where the father is not in the picture anymore, all the more so the husband can mefer on his own. We do have Pasuk Yud Aleph describing the case of the Nesua. Therefore, Pasuk Zayin, when reference is made to the Orus, he does not operate on his own. The Gemara asks, V'Eimah, and here Rashi inserts something that's critical in order to keep with the flow of the Gemara. There's a Rashi where you can see there's a star, V'emol, the Oilim Doros Mefer L'chudei. And we haven't marked this with a diamond because what this suggestion is, it's really a continuation of the immediate previous diamond, where let us suggest that the Oros does Mefer on his own. The Koamis Rashi goes on, because him came the Basi Shana Dora Lomali. If you're going to tell me that the Oros can make for on his own, so am I not making Pasuk Yud Aleph superfluous? What do I need Lomali Loimar Loch Shayna? What do I need that for? Lomar Loch Shayna Baal Mefer Bekodim. I'll tell you what I need that for. To tell me that in a case of Nisuin, a husband does not Mefer Bekodim. In a case of Nisuin, the husband does not annul vows that were taken by her prior to the Nisuin. So let's now read that in the Gemara. The Gemara here is very terse, but we read the Amah, three lines from the bottom, the Amah, the Im Beis Isha Nadara. I will tell you that in fact an Oros can be Mefer on his own, and as far as Pasuk Yud Aleph is concerned, its role is Lomar She'ein Habal Mefer Bekoidman. So that Pasuk Yud Aleph is not superfluous. The Oros can Mefer on his own, and of course, in the case of Nisuin, the husband is Mefer on his own. But what the Torah is telling me is that when she enters Nisuin, so the husband does not Mefer previous vows. The Gemara answers, Umine. Oros Mefer Bekoidman. The Rush helps very much in explaining this answer. We look at the Rush together, about five lines from the end of the Rush commentary. Umishani umine klomar meha de darshinon mino deina baal mefer bekoidman. From that which you are telling me, that Pasuk Yud Aleph would inform us that a husband does not mefer bekoidman memein l'shamis, the oris lechudei einu mefer. From that point alone, I understand that an oros does not mefer on his own. The e mefer lechudei, if an oros could mefer on his own, tikshiloch, you would then ask, baal einu mefer bekoidman. Oros mefer bekodmin bit miha. You read that with a tone of wonderment. Klomar al korchoch oros mefer bekodmin. It's known. It's clear that an oros is mefer bekodmin kinichtiv unedoreha oleha. The pasuk said explicitly in pasuk Zion that when she enters marriage with the vows that are upon her. So if she's entering marriage with vows that are upon her, obviously she's got vows before their erusin. V'chi b'shvil shenichnaso legamri l'rishuso v'nistalik mimen rishuso av hora kocho shelo lahofer ma shehoya mefer b'tchilo levado. Could that be that when she is an arusa, the pasuk tells us that the orus has the power, even though there's a father in the picture, the orus has the power to annul vows previous to their relationship. Does it stand to reason that when she enters Nisuin and the father is out of the picture, that the husband becomes weaker, that he can't be mefer b'koydmin? And we know that. That's a given. That's a fact, that a husband cannot mefer b'koydmin with the nesua. Ela al korchuch. Therefore, we have to conclude the following. Ma sheyofa koychei lahofek shu orus b'koydmin, the strength that an orus has in his ability to annul vows from before their relationship, how does the Oros have that power? Hainu mishum shutfusei de'av. It's only because the Oros functions as a partner with the father. Shein Oros yochel lahofer levado. The Oros cannot mefer on his own. So the Oros, because it's a type of balance here, a push and pull situation. Yes, it's true the Oros can mefer the koydmin, but it's only because there's a father that is present. The Oros does not work on his own. Ukshinasa shemefer levado, eino mefer b'koydmin. And as we said, there's a balance here, push and pull. So when Nisuin sets in, where we saw from the psukim, he cannot mefer b'koydmin, the reason for that is, so to speak, is that even though there's a loss in strength on that side of things, but there's a gain in strength in the case of the Nisua, that the husband is able to be mefer on his own. You can imagine looking at the Gemara alone without any of the commentaries how difficult it would be to decipher it, but we'll just read that again. The suggestion had been, let us say the Oros could be mefer on his own. And as far as Pasuk Yud Aleph is concerned, that is to tell me that a husband of a nesua cannot be mefer b'koydmin. Well, that simply cannot be. Uminei orus mefer b'koydmin. And as we saw in the Rush, what we're saying here is the fact that the orus can be mefer b'koydmin is only because there is a father in the picture. Otherwise, you'd have a logical problem. That's why you read the Gemara with a tone of wonderment. That if you're telling me that a husband of a nesua cannot be mefer b'koydmin, could it be possible that an orus could work on his own and also be mefer b'koydmin? Why would it be then that when she enters nesuin, the husband loses strength? Ela lav, as the Gemara goes on to complete the idea, mishum shutfusei di'av. The fact that the orus is mefer b'koydmin, that he has that advantage, it's only because he functions in conjunction with her father. So at this point in the Gemara, by working with psukim, with the psukim pasuk Zion and pasuk Yud Aleph, we conclude that an orus, true, he's able to mefer b'koydmin, but his ability to mefer is only because he works in conjunction with the father. And that's what we were looking for. That's how the sugya began, with the first bow tie. And now we turn to the top of Samaches Amud Aleph, another bow tie, Debei Rebbe Yishmuel Tana. If we look in the Rashi commentary, first we look at the Ran commentary. Debei Rebbe Yishmuel Tana Bein Ish Liishto Bein Ov Levito Mikan Lenam Rosa Shavio Baila Mefina Zrea. From here we see that both, only if they work in tandem, the father and the husband, can the vows of the Na'am Rosa be rescinded. The Mashmale, the Benaram Rosa, Airi. It's Mashma from this Pasuk that we will see in the Gemara. We haven't read the Gemara yet. That Benura Besavia, Umidisomach Av Labito, Behadi Ish, Mashma Da'avu Baal Mefir Nedoreha. Now, we go to the Gemara text. The Bei Rabbi Shmuel Tana, Bein Ish Liishto, Bein Av Labito. Mikan, Lenam Rosa, Shalvia Ubaila Mefirin Nidorea. So just to repeat from the way the Ran looks at the Pasuk, you see here a reference to Av Labito, and that is in juxtaposition with Ish Liishto. And the Pasuk says explicitly, Binureo Beisofia. We figure that when you're dealing with a Nara, she is a Nara Hamurasa. Father and husband work in tandem, work is as partners. The Rashi at the top, Bein Ish Liishto, Bein Av Labito, Ish V'Av, Dechsivi Bahai Kro, the reference to father and husband in this Pasuk, Lo Tzrifi, would be otherwise unnecessary. If all the Pasuk is trying to tell me is that a father can annul his daughter's vows, a husband can annul his wife's vows, all that information has already been stated. Rather, from here, from this Pasuk, Pasuk Yud Zayin, we learn that Na'am Rosa, her vows are annulled only with the partnering of her father and her oros, her husband. We continue in the Gemara. Actually, we left off a little early there in the Rashi, and that is on the third line from the top, the Bein Av Bein Ish Mefir Nedero, the Ish Mefir Chelko Beishto, the Av Mefir Chelko Bevito. Namely, when you're dealing with a Na'am Amorosa, the father annuls his portion, his holding in her, his domain over her, and the husband, the oros, annuls his portion, so to speak, in her. The Gemara continues. Ulatano debe Rabbi Shmuel. According to this approach, the second Botai approach, who sourced father and husband working in partnership, based on Pasuk Yud Zayin, what does Tana debe Rabbi Shmuel do? What does this opinion, the yeshiva of Rabbi Yishmael, do with Pasuk Zayin? V'im hoyo siel ish mai ovid lei. What do they learn from Pasuk Zayin? If you recall, the vav of the word v'im at the beginning of Pasuk Zayin was connecting the woman who in Pasuk Zayin is described as getting married with that which was stated earlier, namely the father. So what does Tana debei Rabbi Yishmael do with this Pasuk, the Pasuk Zayin, which was the source for the first Botai approach? Answer, Moikim Le'idoch Darabo. They, Tana Rabbi Shmuel, uses Pasuk Zayin for another teaching of Rabo. Here Rashi is terse. He simply says this will be discussed later on Daf Ayin, what the other teaching of Rabo is. So for our purposes, we understand that Tana Rabbi Shmuel has a use for an alternative use for Pasuk Zayin. The Rabo Haitana Haide Tani Debei Rabbi Shmuel, Rabo, who appeared in our first Botai, as giving us the first source for Av and Baal being made from the Dorm. What does he do with Pasuk Yud Zayin of Bein Ish Li Ishto, this Pasuk? Answer me, Boy Olay, Lomar, Rabo uses this Pasuk to tell me, Shabal, Mefer Nidorim, Shebeino Leveino. What kind of Nidorim, what kind of vows does a husband have the right to annul those vows that affect their, the husband-wife, relationship. Rashi says, Devorim shebeino levino kagon shelo eshamish mitoso v'shelo ekhol v'shelo eskashet. Things that are, we'll say, of an intimate husband-wife relation. Vows that would affect their relationship, whether it's a vow not to have intimacy or a vow not to wear cosmetics, things that could affect their personal relationship. And that is what what Rabbah learns from Pasuk Yud Zayin, where it says, Bein Ish Lishto, those vows that come between husband and wife, those are the kind of vows that a husband can annul. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.